Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special Monday edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, July 2012, 31 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports, the world of tennis, 8:31, the world of tennis, of course, Roger Federer winning his 17th major, his 7th Wimbledon championship. Before we get into that, of course, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Of course, you can find the audio from the opening of the previous Saturday morning wake-up call, which is titled Roger Federer, on Cyril Gerald Quinn. CyrilGeraldQuinn.com anytime, and certainly you will be able to find the opening to this particular program on there. Is probably before sometime tomorrow evening, definitely before Wednesday. But we begin with the Swiss maestro, Federer, taking out Andy Murray in four sets. Of course, you had the rain delay, and we'll talk about that. That was certainly an annoyance and just too miserably handled by the people at Wimbledon. But Federer, again, does, to me, what no player has ever done before in terms of, you know, being at the top of your sport for so long. Federer was ranked number one for like 237 straight weeks before Nadal took it over in 2008. Federer regained it back in 2009 and kept it for a couple of years, at least kept it for a year before he lost it to Nadal again. You know, to do that in the prime of your career is one thing, but to do that when people say that you're in the latter part of your career, and 30 years old, 31 years old is old for a tennis player. It just doesn't happen to regain, to be back near or at the top of your sport. Now, you certainly can't make a case for Djokovic and Nadal being better players, but Federer, frankly, right now doesn't have to take a back seat to either one of them. Okay. Federer, you know, Lendl and Sampras both had long runs as number one players in the world. Sampras and Lendl, you know, Sampras is number one was previously before Federer won yesterday. He had the longest run of consecutive weeks at the number one spot, or total weeks at the number one spot, with 286. Lendl is third all time. But when those guys lost that number one ranking, and when they lost it for more than, say, a year, that was it. I mean, Lendl lost in 1990. He never regained it. Sampras lost in 1999. He never regained it again, even though he would go on to win two more Wimbledons and one more Wimbledon and a U.S. Open Championship in 2002, which was his last major. You know, to regain number one at the age of 30, soon to be 31, is unheard of. Now, you can talk about the number one. You can talk about the ranking system all you want. It is flawed. I mean, there's no way that Djokovic, you know, having won three out of the last five majors and been in the Grand Slam and been in the final and the semifinals of those other two majors, should have lost the number one spot. But, you know, it is what it is. Federer regaining number one. In a match that, listen, Andy Murray played well. Andy Murray had opportunities in the match. But, again, he's just not as good as Federer. I mean, he's just not, like, Andy Murray is not on that level. Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, he's just not there. And he played as well as he could possibly play. Now, he certainly caught a bad break with the rain delay. And again, we'll get into that in terms of how that was handled. But Federer showed you yesterday why he is the greatest of all time, because he can beat you every which way but loose. I mean, yesterday he served, he volleyed as well as he's ever volleyed. I mean, Federer, he can be Andre Agassi and beat you from the baseline. He could be Pete Sampras and beat you with a serve. He could be Stefan Edberg and beat you with his volley. Or he can mentally take you apart like Bjorn Borg used to do. You know, he's kind of a, you know, fitness freak and meticulous about how he goes about his business like Yvonne Lendl. So, he's basically a combination of almost every player, every great player that's come through the sport. And no other player in history has that combination. Nobody. And, you know, there was a time, you know, there was a time when I didn't think, a year ago or even a couple months ago, you asked me, I thought Federer was done in terms of winning majors. I really did. Remember, you know, he had a stretch which will never be matched in tennis history. He had a stretch from 2005 to 2010 where, you know, he went, you know, he was in 18 of 19 Grand Slam finals. 18 of 19. Prior to yesterday was only his second Grand Slam final in basically 2.5 years. The other one he had been in was his third. Other one was, you know, last year's French Open and the 2010 Australian Open, which he won. Lost to French to Nate Hall. So he had been, for him, in 2.5 years without winning a major, it's an eternity. I mean, here's a guy who's, you know, three times over during the course of his career won three majors during the season. And with minimum, win two majors a year. Minimum. But it is the variety in his game that separates him from anybody, from everybody. You know, some of those drop shots that he was hitting yesterday, the angles that were on him, it's just, I mean, you can't do anything with it if you're an opponent. The touch he used, you know, the touch he has on the ball, just his feel on the tennis court, just knowing when to hit the right shot, knowing when to go for a shot, knowing when to, how to mix up his shots. I mean, it's really like watching an artist paint. It really is. Aesthetically, nobody compares to him. I mean, forget about just being the best of all time. It's just, you know, his style of play is unmatched in tennis history. It really, it's not even close. You know, Andy Murray, you know, what can you say? I mean, Andy Murray's just been, he just was born in the wrong era. I mean, he's, you know, kind of reminiscent to say of Karl Malone, who was, you know, had to get through, who had to deal with Magic, Bird, Jordan, then, you know, Kobe, Shaq, and Duncan. He wasn't going to win a championship unless he joined a great team, tried to do that in 04, didn't work out with the Lakers. Unfortunately for Murray, he didn't, you know, tennis is a individual sport. He's not. I don't think he's ever going to win a major. I mean, Federer was being very kind, extremely kind, when he said, you know, I think he's going to win at least one major. And I think that was even a subtle shot saying, him only saying just one. I mean, think about it. Since 2005, either Federer, Djokovic, or Nadal have won 29 out of 30 majors. The only person other than those three to win a major during that time span was Del Potro, who beat Federer at the U.S. Open a couple years ago, I think back in 09. That's it. You have one other player, 29 of 30. How is Andy Murray, like Andy Murray had to deal with three of those guys. How is he going to, he's going to have to, in every tournament he faces, he's going to have to play at least two of those guys. He can't beat any of them. I understand he's still relatively young, but which one is he going to beat? I mean, Nadal normally has been great on grass. Nadal's won two Wimbledons. Djokovic just won Wimbledon last year. Nadal owns clay. Djokovic and Federer are dominant on hard courts. Nadal's even good on hard courts. Not as dominant as he is on clay, but he's still very good. Still, you know, better than Andy Murray. He'll always go in. Any tournament Murray goes into, he's going in as the fourth best player, and that gap between he and the number three player, whether it be Nadal or Federer or Djokovic, is probably one of the biggest gaps in tennis. So I don't think Murray will ever win a major, myself. You know, Wimbledon, of course, I mentioned earlier in the program, Wimbledon had a problem with the rain delay, had a 40-minute rain delay. Here's the problem. You have a retractable roof that you just put in 3 years ago, okay, right after the 08 Olympics. You just put that in, and you're still having rain delays on center court. It doesn't make sense. If there's any sniff, any chance of rain, close the roof. And if you get caught off guard, which you shouldn't, at least make sure that the court is dry once you resume play. I mean, you had Andy Murray, you know, out there like he was on, you know, ice skates. With all the cutting and moving you have to do in tennis, you can't go in there. The court can't be damp. Forget about wet, it can't even be damp. I mean, Wimbledon should be embarrassed by how they handle that ordeal with the rain. Embarrassed. Just getting started here as I look back at history in the making, Roger Federer winning champion major number 17, adding to his record total. Of course, three ahead of Pete Sampras. We'll talk about Serena when we get back after this break. Talk about Sabrina. We'll also talk about the men's game moving forward. Should be an exciting U.S. Open. So we'll talk about that and much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Corner Review. We'll be right back. Monday edition of the Cyril Coin Review. Roger Federer wins major number 17, his seventh Wimbledon, his first Wimbledon win since 2009. Remember, he had been eliminated in the quarterfinals of the previous two Wimbledons to lost to Sanger, Wilfredo Sanger last year, and 2010 lost to Thomas Berdych in the quarterfinals. So, again, 3 years since he won his last Wimbledon. He's been dominant at that time at Wimbledon for the most part, going 7-1 in finals of all time, only losing that classic match. Again, I think the greatest tennis match of all time to Rafael Nadal back in 2008. Back in 2008, so he's been his home, basically his home away from home. Poll question of the night. Who will end the year ranked number one? Currently, Federer has a slight 75-point lead over Djokovic, but Djokovic certainly has a chance, and they all, of course, don't count him out of the mix as he is a close number three behind those two. Of course, you had Serena taking home the championship on her first major tournament in 2 years, her first major win in 2 years, winning her fifth Wimbledon on Saturday. Serena has been dominant in Grand Slam finals, 14-4 all time. Only Graf, Navratilova, and Chris Evert have more Grand Slams than her. Listen, you can say what you want about Serena. She's an all-time great. She's all-time great. Now, I don't think she's catching Steffi Graf for 22 majors, but she certainly has an outside chance of catching Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova. because there's nobody, frankly, in the women's game right now. And remember, Serena, had that mysterious injury where she cut her foot, and she basically hasn't played in the last couple of years. Before that, when she was fully healthy in the 2009-2010 season, she was 41-3 in Grand Slams and had won 4 out of 8 Grand Slams that she had played in. So before that nasty, just freak accident that she had in last year, I believe it was last year, she had been dominant in Grand Slams. I mean, she was dominating the game. And looked like she was, was headed towards, 15, 16, 17, 18 majors easily. Looked like she could challenge Graf's record. Looked like she was at a point where she could challenge Graf's record. So, unlike the men's game, where you have this triumvirate that is just these three, all-time greats who are controlling the landscape of the sport. There's nothing in the women's game right now. Nothing. I mean, yes, Serena and everybody else. I mean, Sharapova shows up every so often. Then you have a bunch of young players who are just highly ranked, just for the sake of being highly ranked. They don't win any Grand Slams. Jelena Djokic hasn't won a Grand Slam. Yes, she's been ranked number one for a number of weeks. I don't think she's number one right now, but well, she might even be number one. And I think Sharapova's number one, but she had been number one for a long time. She hasn't won a major. She still had a number one ranking before Sharapova took it over after winning the French Open. But there's nothing in the women's game right now that will keep Serena from not winning at least 3 or 4 majors if she stays interested. And that's the key for Serena. I mentioned this on Saturday. Her staying interested in the game. Her just staying in shape. She looks healthy. She played her way. She has this amazing power to play her way into shape over the course of a tournament. Her and Venus used to have that kind of ability. She kind of Venus used to be able to do that. She can't do it anymore. But Serena, can basically play her way into the tournament, play her way into shape and win a tournament and improve as she goes along. And, there's nobody, her on top of her game or even anywhere close to being on top of her game, she's still the best player in the world. It'll be very interesting to see how she navigates through the course of this summer into the U.S. Open. Again, she has a chance to go on one of these runs where she wins, 3 out of 5 majors, 4 out of 6 majors, something of that nature, 3 out of 6 majors, something like that, to where she can really start creating some more separation and just add to her already legendary career. Again, you can say what you want about her, celebrity life, trying to, record a rap track or whatever. She's 14-4 all time in Grand Slams. 14-4. Minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. When we return, we will look forward to the rest of the tennis season as far as men's tennis goes. Of course, again, 2012 U.S. Open should be exciting. We'll talk about Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal when we return on this latest edition of the Sydal Corner Review. We'll be right back. 21 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. As we talk about yesterday's Wimbledon victory, Roger Federer over Andy Murray. Murray, 0-4, now 0-4 in Grand Slam Finals. He's lost two of those to Federer, or three of them to Federer. He lost the 2008 U.S. Open. Last year, the 2010 Australian Open, of course, yesterday. And then he lost, he lost a final to Djokovic last year at the Australian Open. Or even this year or last year, he lost to Djokovic at the Australian Open. Last year, Djokovic beat Nadal this year in that crazy, you know, five-hour marathon at the Australian Open. So it was last year he lost to Djokovic at the Australian Open in 2011. So, you know, Andy Murray, very good player, but just came along in the wrong era. You know, the men's game at the top is as strong as it has been since going back to when you had Connors, McEnroe, Lendl, and Borg. And I would say, you know what, I would say Connors, McEnroe, Lendl came along. I guess Borg had faded a little bit, so I would say, really, Lendl, Connors, and McEnroe. I mean, you can go either way. You can go Connors, McEnroe. You can go Borg, Connors, McEnroe. Or you could go that era where it was Borg, where it was Lendl, Connors, and McEnroe. So I'll say Lendl, Connors, Lendl, McEnroe, whatever order you want to put them in. I mean, both of those, all three of those guys won majors. Lendl was ranked more in terms of being number one, but there was, you know, Connors won most tournaments. McEnroe probably had the most natural ability out of those three, but just, you know, won his last major at 25, though. Should have won more than seven majors, to be honest with you, with the kind of game that he had. McEnroe was just, you know, tremendous player, but had some things getting his way as far as, you know, with his attitude and things of that nature. But should have won more tournaments, should have won more Grand Slams. I think he would even admit to that. But, you know, this era of 10, you know, how this year is going to end is similar to me to 1995 when you had Sampras, Agassi, and Thomas Muster. At the time, Sampras and Agassi were clearly the two best players in the world. Muster was the dominant player on clay, and nobody else, you know, and there was, you know, and the men's game was deeper in terms of quality of opponents back in 1995. But, you know, guys like Sergio Bruguera and Goran Ivanišević, just to name a few. But we're much closer to those guys than anybody else, closer to, say, Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. But it was similar in terms of, you know, who's going to end the year at number one. And, you know, listen, it sounds like Federer, you know, is committed to being number one and, you know, wanted to regain number one badly. You know, he played more tournaments down the stretch. And at the end of last year, won the year-end, you know, Masters tournament. If they still call it that, I don't know if they call it the Masters, but year-end tournament, like it has that round-robin format, beats Sangha in the finals of that. So it sounds like, again, it sounds like this match, what happened yesterday, and this is why it was a big match for tennis. It just added years to Federer's career. I mean, he's going to be that more energized. He's going to feel like he can compete and can beat these guys. Like, he still hasn't beaten Nadal in the final. Recently, in a Grand Slam final. He hasn't beaten Nadal in a Grand Slam period since 2007, when he won, beat him in the 2007 Wimbledon final. So last time, he hasn't beaten Nadal in a Grand Slam in 5 years. So it's still going to be, that will always be his nemesis. He's played well against Djokovic in finals, in Grand Slams. I mean, he could have beat him easily in the last two U.S. Opens. Beat him in the French last year, beat him this year at the Wimbledon semifinal. So I think he's confident in you playing Djokovic in terms of the matchup. Nadal's another story, but Nadal still understands that he can't slip. If he slips, you know, Federer is going to pick up the pieces. And that's the thing, you know, moving forward, that makes what Federer did yesterday that much more intriguing, because if you're Djokovic, okay, coming into this year, Nadal and Djokovic have won seven out of the last eight majors. Only the other one, Federer, won in the 2010 Australian Open. if I'm either one of those players, you're probably thinking at the end of last year, you're like, you know, we don't have to worry about Federer anymore. He hasn't won a major since, you know, in almost two, in basically 2 years. You know, we've had some success with him. Djokovic had beaten him, you know, at the U.S. Open. You know, Nadal, of course, owns him. Has owned him throughout the course of his career. But now, I mean, you have to be very much concerned about Federer because, again, that victory yesterday is going to rejuvenate him. And if you're Nadal, yeah, you can beat him when you play him. But if you're Nadal, you have to say to yourself, I can't lose. You know, I have to at least get to a point where I can play him. You know, I can't lose in the second round. I can't lose in the quarterfinals. I can't lose in the semifinals. Or he's going to win the major. Because you realize he can beat Djokovic. And you're talking long term, you know, that count, what transpired yesterday, 17-11. I mean, that's the all time, you know, Nadal has 11 majors. Federer has 17. Six more majors. That's a lot. In terms of the pantheon, in terms of all-time major winners. You know, Sampras has 14. You figure they'd all be able to catch Sampras in the next couple of years, but trying to catch Federer after what happened yesterday just got that much harder and more or less, and frankly, more or less likely. You know, I know the U.S. Open is about roughly, you know, about 2 months away, but, you know, you have to, if you're a tennis fan, you have to be looking forward to it because, you know, last year Djokovic and Federer played a classic. Djokovic and Nadal played a classic. Federer and Nadal have never met at the U.S. Open. That's the only Grand Slam that they haven't met at, so who knows, we might get that matchup. We might get that match this year. And who knows how the Olympics will affect, you know, how those guys go into the U.S. Open. Probably won't. But Federer is already, you know, I believe all three of them are playing in the Olympics. I know at least Federer and Nadal are playing in the Olympics. So right now the men's sport is in a great place. I mean, if you're a fan of men's tennis, you have to love what you're seeing right now. You're seeing three legends at the same time. And, again, that is very rare, extremely rare in tennis. You know, again, you have Sampras and Agassi. Agassi would, you know, take every other year off, it seemed like, and wouldn't be committed. You have three guys who are totally committed. Two of them are in their prime. And one old guy who just will not let go, just won't give it up, will not give up the reins without a fight. So it should be great if you're a tennis fan. That's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the Cyril Coon Review. I will see you next time. Have a great evening.